Welcome to Not So Different, a podcast from the Center for Biosimilars. I'm your host, Skyla Jeremias. July brought a lot of discussion regarding biosimilar policies in both the U.S. and abroad, as well as three highly anticipated FDA approvals. Two approvals came through during the first day of the month: Samsung Bioepis' Pyzchiva, an ustekinumab biosimilar, and Formycon and Kelun-Biotech Biopharma's Onzontiv, an aflibercept biosimilar. Pyzchiva is the third ustekinumab biosimilar approved in the U.S. and the 14th interchangeable biosimilar, meaning that the biosimilar can be substituted for the reference product Stelara at the pharmacy level without physician approval. It will be available for intravenous and subcutaneous administration to treat conditions such as plaque psoriasis, psoriatic arthritis, Crohn's disease, and ulcerative colitis. Onzontiv is the third biosimilar referencing Eylea approved in the U.S. This biosimilar is approved for treating age-related neovascular macular degeneration and other retinal diseases like diabetic macular edema, diabetic retinopathy, and macular edema following retinal vein occlusion. The approval follows those of Biocon Biologics Yesafili and Samsung Bioepis' Opuviz in May 2024. Additionally, the FDA approved Episkli, eculizumab biosimilar developed by Samsung Bioepis. The biosimilar references Soliris and will be used to treat paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria and atypical hemolytic uremic syndrome. This is the second approval for an eculizumab biosimilar in the U.S. and the eighth biosimilar approval for Samsung Bioepis. Episkli was also approved by the European Commission in May 2023 and is approved in the Republic of Korea. An article from Dr. Sarfaraz K. Niazi, an adjunct professor of pharmaceutical science from the University of Illinois Chicago and a member of the Center for Biosimilars Advisory Board, discussed the FDA's new guidelines on interchangeable biosimilars, a classification unique to the U.S. These guidelines allow developers to claim interchangeability based on existing data without requiring additional trials, addressing concerns that such studies are redundant and potentially abusive. The FDA issued the guidance on June 20, 2024, and introduced educational tools to help stakeholders understand biosimilars. Niazi said he anticipates further regulatory changes to streamline biosimilar approvals and reduce development costs, encouraging the entry of smaller companies into the market. Similarly, in a contributor piece, Kathy Oob, CEO of Pontchartrain Cancer Center and another member of the Center for Biosimilars Advisory Board, discussed the growth of the biologics market in the U.S., which has seen an annual increase of 12.5% over the past 5 years and expected to dominate the top 100 drugs by 2026. Oob emphasized the importance of employers in promoting biosimilars by educating health plan participants and providers, adopting clinical management programs, designing payment features of prescription benefits to include biosimilars, and addressing biosimilars in pharmacy benefit manager contracts. The language of biosimilars is also a big topic of discussion. An article discussed the development and impact of biologic medicines, which have significantly benefited patients with diseases like autoimmune disorders, cancer, diabetes, and genetic conditions. The expiration of patents on older biologics led to the introduction of biosimilars, which are similar but not identical to innovator biologics, offering greater patient access and reduced cost. A recent study highlighted how Singapore's value-driven healthcare strategies have led to high biosimilar adoption rates, reducing treatment costs and saving the healthcare system significant amounts. The study analyzed 5 monoclonal antibody biosimilars from 2018 to 2022, revealing significant price reductions and increased patient treatment numbers, saving the healthcare system $136 million over 5 years. A real-world study presented at the 2024 European Congress of Rheumatology found that patients with inflammatory bowel disease or chronic inflammatory rheumatic disease who switched from reference adalimumab to the biosimilar CTP17 generally felt the switch was necessary, leading to high satisfaction rates. However, 51.3% of patients had problematic or insufficient health literacy, which was not directly linked to satisfaction levels. The study revealed that patient beliefs about the necessity of the switch influenced satisfaction more than health literacy. Researchers concluded that reinforcing patient education before switching to biosimilars could improve adherence and satisfaction. Thank you for tuning into this special episode of Not So Different. To check out all of the stories we discussed today, you can find them in the show notes. And until next time, you can visit us at centerforbiosimilars.com.